Morning. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. What a good band. Huh? Wasn't it? Full house. Thank you, David. Andrew. Beautiful. Awesome. Wasn't it good? Turn to John 18. This is the preliminary thought for our meditation and teaching this morning. John 18. My sound is a little different in my ears. I don't know if it is in yours. Is it good sound? Can you hear it okay? Yeah, I like it the way it is right now. It's loud for me, so it's good. Well, okay. All right. John 18. These words, I know we know these words, we've heard them before, and they speak to our hearts. I want to say something about them as an introduction. First of all, we praise God with all our hearts this morning for the Spirit to fill us and teach us and satisfy us. What an honor to live in the 21st century and be satisfied. Boy, how about it? Turn to your neighbor and just say, does the world satisfy you or does God satisfy you? Pastor Pete, where's your neighbor? Is my iPad working okay? Yeah, good. John 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. Ooh. My kingdom is not of this world. Whoa. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thanks for telling the truth, Lord. You are the truth. You're teaching us something. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Are you guys fighting? Are you fighting? What kind of fight? Yeah, spiritual fight. The fight of faith, learning faith, living by faith. But militarily or politically, my kingdom is not of this world, and my servants are not fighting, that they would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. So here's a simple diagram for us this morning. Here is here's Pilate's world, the earth. Pilate's world, his worldview, his philosophy about life. He lived in a pagan world, and there was a spiritual world in Pilate's world. There was, there are, or there were in the mind, gods. The pagan world had gods, and they had beliefs, and they believed life was not only material, but also spiritual. Here's Jesus's world. And his world was also, he came from the Father. There was a big difference between Pilate's pagan world and Jesus' world, which is biblical worldview, which is the worldview you and I have, that he brought us into his kingdom, into the world that is the real one, which is not the secular world. Let's draw that one. This one is the secular world. And we could put here secular. What is it about the secular world? What do they believe about the world? They don't. They are generally materialistic, believing the only reality is the material one. Do they believe in God? In general, no. God is not that important. They may believe in God, but he doesn't have much to do with the world we live in. We decide We are the big guys here. Let's put here a big guy. Man. The secular world is a world about man and his ability, his society, civilization, development, growth, economics, politics, and so on. Because the secular world doesn't have more than this world, then this world is very important to them. This world is very important to the secular person because this is the only life they have. This is the only life. They don't have another one. What happens after you die? No one knows. We die. We're buried. There isn't any point of thinking about it. We're not talking about it. When was the last time you were with the unbelievers and they're talking about death and resurrection from the dead and heaven and God and judgment? One day we will be judged. Is that like common talk at the local university? It isn't. Therefore, and there's some research done on this, is that this world that we are living in is more unhappy, the Western world, more unhappy than our forefathers. We are more unhappy, secular people. I'm more anxious, more nervous, more worried. Why? Because our world can collapse. Our world is in trouble. Our world economically, politically, ideologically, in many ways. But there's nothing more. There's nothing more. It's only this world. That's why people are unhappy, because they believe this world is the only thing they have. But 200 years ago, people had this way of thinking, this one here. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. And if it was, my servants would fight. But I'm not fighting, because there's another world. There's a future, because there is a resurrection, because there is heaven, because there is God, because my kingdom one day will come on the earth. But later, this is a blessing for us because we get to study it and think about it, embrace it, meditate on it, relate to it, and live in the reality of it, because he sent us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would teach us what kind of world do we live in." Remember in 2 Kings, Elijah was with his servant, and they were surrounded by the Assyrians, I believe. And the servant was nervous and worried and said, "We are surrounded by the enemy." And Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant." And his eyes were opened, and he saw that they were surrounded by an innumerable company of angels. The angels were everywhere. And this is the spiritual world that we live in, is that we are ready to have a short life, if that's God's will. It's not a problem if our life is short. If we have a lot of trouble in this life, that's okay. If we suffer for a while in this life, that's okay. Because our kingdom is not of this world, and our life isn't just this life. Our life is eternal life. Our life is a life that's beyond the material world. And in it, for we will return here as kings and priests. Do you understand what Jesus is saying to Pilate? And Pilate got nervous about it, by the way. "Are you then the king of the Jews?" Doesn't he say that here? Let me see. Verse 37, Pilate said, "Are you a king then? Are you a king then?" I wonder what tone of voice it was. Like it could have been, are you a king? Then are you a king? Or is he mocking him? Are you a king? We don't know how it was said. At least I don't know how it was said. But I know that when you and I live the life of faith, it's a message to the people that are around us who don't have hope. And I'm not happy about it. I'm saddened by it. This secular world has so little, well, I'll just say here, no hope. Really. What's your hope? You make it up. Use hope. You're not sure. You hope everything works out okay. You don't know about the future. You don't know if you'll see your mother again. You hope so, but do you have any real hope? Are you sure about it? You don't know. That's why these words, when Jesus said it to Pontius Pilate, and he said this with these words, it was powerful. My kingdom is not of this world. So what kind of kingdom is it? In a word, it is agricultural. And this will be just a, I'll write down this and finish here. Agricultural. What's the kingdom of heaven like? It's like seed. What do you mean? Yeah, this is a kingdom here on the earth. It's here. It's seed. What are you? We are farmers? Yeah, we need to get a farmer mentality. Because seed is like different from a secular mindset. A farmer is different. A farmer sows the seed. He doesn't see anything. You see nothing. But after a while, that seed is changing and the ground is changing. The ground is actually lifting up. The plant is actually digging in. It actually is changing. And if you are patient enough, that seed will produce a plant that will be food. And this is like the kingdom of God, kingdom that Jesus spoke about in Luke 8. A farmer, not an earth-moving machine. You know how we had developments? We got the earth-moving machines. We've got the farmland turned into residential communities. You have pipes going in and sewer and the land changing. This is huge. This is the secular world works like this. The secular world is like earth-moving machinery. And this is how they govern. They are strong. They are powerful. They move things. They change things. But God's kingdom is here, and it's actually preparation and reality in us. It's changing in us. It's growing in us. We are the Lord's planting. And we are bearing fruit. And the fruit is love and joy and peace. And we are in a, let's say, in a communist country like China or Vietnam or Cuba. We are living in a communist country or an Islamic country like Arabia or Pakistan. Or a Hindu country like Bhutan and Nepal and India. And so on. Or a secular country like here in the United States and the Western world. That's fine. Because our kingdom is this one. It's agricultural. It takes a lot of time and patience. And it grows so slow. And you think it doesn't mean anything. But it does. Christ said, my kingdom is not like yours. My kingdom is different. Pilate, it's different from yours. My kingdom is not like yours. My kingdom is different. But my kingdom You might not see it, but it'll move a mountain. But that means it'll change a heart. It'll save a sinner. It'll turn an unbeliever into a believer. It'll take a bitter root of bitterness and rip it out and put love in the heart. And so on. A father becomes a real father, a father that really cares and loves. My kingdom is different. So that's an introductory word for us today. Amen. Okay, before what a beautiful, awesome ministry of music to us. Thank you, guys. That was great. Before we give the message, I want you to kind of be exercised in it yourself and go back to our introduction here. And we said that Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, so my kingdom is not political, economical. It's something we read in the scripture from the beginning. We see the authority of God, and Jesus said he always did the will of the Father, always followed the Father, always did the will of the Father. So he understood in the scripture where it is going. There actually is a day when there will not be any pain or suffering. We read that in Revelation 21:4. Let's look at that for a moment. Revelation 21. God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. Imagine that. No more tears. Wow. There shall be no more death. Imagine that. 200 years ago, when a child died, and many children died in childbirth and then in young ages, many children died. And the family would have tears. They would go to bury them in the cemetery. But what did they think? They thought, life is painful and life is short. We're dying. But we have another. We have hope. We have another world. We have eternal life in Christ. Isn't that amazing? The world has changed. There's a famine. We'll talk about that later. There's a famine, not of bread, but of the Word of God. People don't talk like the way we talk inside this room. They don't sing like we do. They don't talk like we do. They don't think like we do. They don't love like we do. We're not perfect in any way. We're all growing and learning, but we have hope. We have hope. We have something going on in our hearts. When we bury our loved ones, we have hope. When we suffer, we say we suffer, but it's only a short life. It's a short, hard life for some people. A very hard life for some people. But that's okay. We can live with it. We can handle it because we've got hope. We've got God. We've got promises. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God helping us in life. Here's a good thought. Why weren't you born in the 8th century in Germany or Ireland or Russia or China or Tibet? Why weren't you born in Asia, in India? Why were you... Turn to your neighbor and say, where were you born? When were you born? Why weren't you born as a potato farmer in the Netherlands in the 7th century? Huh? You could have been. We could have been born in any number. We know this. But you were born on a certain day in a certain place. And if you were born in this country and you're born at this time, this is a very wealthy very high-level society, very highly educated comparatively, very wealthy. We live a long time, and whenever we suffer, we just say, why is this happening to me? This has changed. This is a secular world. They don't speak about God. They don't think about suffering the way we think. Jesus said, that's okay. I can be crucified. That's okay. My Father's will. I want my Father's will. I came for this reason. I came for this. My kingdom is not of this world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? Well, Jesus, where is it? Where is it? Where is the world going? He's saying, there'll be a time. There'll be no more tears, no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what we believe. We have this in our hearts and in our hope. But there's another thing here, actually, as we're here in this chapter in Revelation 20. Could we put that up on the board, up on the screen? Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is the judgment. Another doctrine that the secular world doesn't speak about. The secular world doesn't speak about facing God. But the secular world speaks a lot about justice. Where's the justice coming from? Where do we find justice? Do you know, in our world, if you were abused and you just are looking for justice, and we hope you can find it in this life, but we understand also that justice ultimately comes with God. God will judge everything. I mean everything. Everything will be made right. I mean everything. Your money was stolen from you. I may not get it back. Somebody took advantage of me. A relative was murdered, never found the murderer. How much does that happen in the city of Baltimore? Many, I think 7 out of 10 murders are unresolved. Imagine the people in this city that are crying out for justice. The secular world doesn't have a very good answer for people that want justice. Amazing. But justice is coming. Real justice. Not human. God, God. Isn't that amazing? This is very sobering, but I want to just make a point here because of the message. We haven't gotten to it yet, but this is Revelation 20. We'll read it. It says, heaven and earth fled away. Remember? Heaven and earth fled away. Where else did you read that text? Jesus said, even though heaven and earth flees away, my word, not one jot or one tittle will be removed from my word. This is our Bible. The words of God are settled in heaven. That's God's heaven, third heaven. But the material heavens and the earth will one day be gone, but they will return. They will be remade. We read about that in the scripture. But I want you to just see here, there'll be no room to hide. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. Wow. Yeah, I stole money. I am unsaved. No, if you are saved, your sins are forgiven. You've been justified. Christ became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 3:23, 3:24, and 3:25. Incredible message of salvation, justification, made righteous. We are unrighteous, but we are made righteous. We will not be at this judgment. This is the judgment for the unbeliever. And just to read it again, and maybe we should put it in our, have it somehow in our conversations. Judgment is coming. People are crying out for social justice. Yes, we want that also. But could I add to the conversation? Judgment is coming. There is a justice coming that'll knock your socks off. Everything in the heart, every word spoken, everything done in the light of God, in God's reality. Justice is coming. Wow. Isn't that scary? That's amazing. Isn't that incredible? Look at chapter 20 in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Okay? The only answer for us and for the world is to come to Christ. So I will not be answering for my sin. I will not be judged for my sin. It is covered. It is covered. It's interesting with God. Like, if you hide and cover your sin yourself, then it will be exposed. It'll be exposed at the white throne judgment. But if you expose yourself to God with your sin in this life, you expose it to God. I have sinned, Jesus. I'm coming to you. Then that's covered, and you will not be at the white throne judgment. You'll be at the judgment of the Bema Seat judgment. Okay? Okay, now let's go to our message. Amos 8. Amos chapter 8. Verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Could you read that to your neighbor and talk about it for a minute? Because I'm afraid you didn't hear it when I read it, but if you hear yourself read it, or your neighbor, would you read it and don't miss it? The United Nations has a research on famine, and unfortunately, it's increasing largely around the world. Famine is broadly defined as the most severe kind of hunger crisis, resulting in widespread acute malnutrition and loss of life by starvation and disease. The scale of the current global hunger and malnutrition crisis is enormous, with an expected 345 million people projected to be food insecure, more than double when in 2020. There's an added, from COVID-19, added 200 million people that are starving. They are fighting to survive in famine-like conditions. I think we all know, we've seen the Holocaust survivor movies or clips or documentaries, and we've seen people who are starving to death. Imagine what it means to be without food, how it affects your body, what it does, how you get exposed to disease. You you get infections easily. You are malnourished. And, of course, for children, this is huge tragedy. God said, I will send a famine like that, but not of food, but of hearing. Of hearing. Good word, isn't it? Let's write it down just to emphasize it here. You can tell I'm like doing a lot of like little short little diagrams and writing. I'm having fun up here. I hope you are enjoying hearing. Hearing. You don't hear me. Sometimes speaking with my wife, you know, I ask her a question that the follow-up is obvious. You haven't been listening to me. I already said that, you know. Can anybody identify? You know, students in school, they're not listening. People in churches, not listening. Children in homes, not listening. It's another kind of famine. There's also no words. There's no words. There's not only you can't hear, but also there's nothing said. And how much of that is happening in the movies? You know, I fly internationally, and sometimes I look for a good movie I can't find. I mean, I don't have much tolerance, but I got to have something. What does it mean? Is there a hero? Is it godly? Is it going to encourage or edify? You know, I don't like trash. I don't like it. You know this. Let's put here junk food. Junk food words. You know, if you are, like in our country, you could eat a lot of junk food but still be malnourished. You might be substituting healthy food with bad food. It might be. You're starving. And on a level of understanding life, this is a problem in our society. I heard that, or I read that the Gideon's Bibles, it would go to hotels. 95% of the hotels would receive the Gideon Bible, but now it's down to 48% of the hotels will allow Gideon Bibles to be in the rooms of the hotel. Why? Why have they changed? The secular world is dominating our culture and filling our world with words, but there's no nutrition. There's no message. There's no changed life. There's no gospel. There's no anointing. There's no real effect. There's no power. There's no demons fleeing. Remember in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was preaching and ministering, the Apostle Paul saw huge influence when he was preaching and ministering. In the book of Acts, you see it in Thessalonica. That's a good chapter, 17, to use for this. What happened? He went there and they received the word with power. And he said, we stayed and we gave our heart to you. Not only our words, but we cared about you like a nurse cares for children. And we loved being with you. We had the Holy Spirit was doing a work and giving the message of the gospel. We read the same story in Acts 17 as we read in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapters 1 and chapter 2. And they stayed there. And then they were driven out of town because the King James has it, certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. It's kind of the rabble-rousers in the community were unleashed on them and driven out of town. But they went to Berea, a town south on the coast, and it said there that they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica, for they studied the scriptures to see if these things were so. Are these things true? What Paul is saying, that Christ is, that Jesus is the Christ, that he fulfilled the prophets. Are these things true? That this is, that he is actually the Messiah, that he was raised from the dead, that he is the answer for the needs of man. Are they true or not? Now notice, in our world where we have this secular world, there is a lot of emotional, mental health problems, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, and little hope. I mean hope, real hope. I mean reality hope, God coming into our hearts, saving us, forgiving us, giving us a new life, that we would be born again. There is a famine. Look at the verse again with me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water. Well, let me add, a famine that produces boredom. People go to movies but come out empty. People take drugs, but they just are hungry for more. People are complaining but never corrected, instructed in deeper things. One of Pastor Stephen's booklets, it says, "Are you married to your wounds?" And I like this. People have to leave churches for a variety of reasons, many of which they are willing to openly express. Often people go away simply because they receive the grace of God in vain. They don't discern what they are doing. They hear the scriptures, but instead of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, they leave. They refuse to stand in grace. As a result, they cannot cultivate an access to God and rejoice in the hope of his glory. So they marry the wounds that reside in their unconscious minds. Those wounds begin to control their experiences because Satan has damaged their capacity for God. This booklet presents fresh thoughts in an eternal context on the subject of wounds, where one bad experience or bad decision will cause a bruise, repeated acts will cause a wound. Here we will show that these wounds can be mollified, but only with the oil of the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago when we smuggled Bibles into China, we brought 1,600 books into China in our luggage back in 1976, I believe. No. 79, yeah, 79. And we had this hunger in China, this hunger for the Bible, because it was illegal, it was not allowed. And people were, we actually were, it sounds bad, but there were so many people around that wanted. We actually ripped Bibles apart and handed out pages. And then they were reading, and then they were talking to each other, trading pages on the street, as we did that on the street. And they were like eager to know what is being said. What is it? What is it saying? That's in a communist country, right? Back in those years. There's a famine. Intellectually, there's a famine to investigate. Why have there been so many Christians throughout history that have had life-changing experiences and have done incredible things to help the human race. Why are Christians have gone to leper colonies and they have established clinics and schools and teaching children and women and prisoners and disabled and people with difficulties of all kinds? Why have they done it? Because our kingdom is not of this world. We are seeing something more. And where did you get that? From the Bible. The Bible does it. The Bible teaches us. It's not junk food. It's real food. And so here's a couple closing thoughts. Instead of no words, you and I are in a place where there is a famine of the Word of God, so don't be afraid to share it. Be bold. Have it integrated into your conversation. Share another worldview. Like, share the reality. Have a testimony ready to give for the hope that is in you in 1 Peter 3:15. Remember that story about on the Titanic, there were Salvation Army Christians on the Titanic, and while it was going down, there were not enough lifeboats and life preservers and so on to save. So people knew they were dying, or there was limited, and the believers gave it to the unbeliever. They said, you know, you go in the boat. I can say, I'm good. I'm okay. I have eternal life. Really? You're just saying that. I believe it. I believe it. I have it. I have hope. Our world is not just this one. We have another one. If I lose in this one, it's okay, because I may gain in the next one. If I'm last in this one, I might be first in the next one. If I'm last because I live with God, that's okay, because God will take care of me. God will help me. God will put me where He wants me to be. We have eternal life. We are the ones who can afford to come in last because we have Jesus in our lives. So we have words. The world doesn't talk like us, but we talk like this because of His Word. Let's say lastly, Bible school has been such a blessing, and this church has been such a blessing to so many people because these words go into our hearts. And then as we're living our life, these words come out of our mouths. This is what God has called us to do. There is a famine, but we have found food. We have found food. And some people say, there isn't any food. There isn't any food. And we say, we have found food. There is food. There is a message. There is the gospel. There is hope. There is answer prayer. There is the living Christ. Listen to this thought. When Jesus was here on the earth, He did so many miracles. He did miracles maybe even every day. He did miracles in front of thousands of people. Not just like one miracle and, you know, just one or two people saw it and maybe later, you know, a miracle. No, he was a miracle worker. He was showing. They were amazed. We're not just like healing from a cold or a sore leg, but the raising of the dead, the leprosy disappeared. The blind eyes see. People are exposed to a miracle worker. They are drawn to Him in huge numbers. And then He is saying, I didn't come for this. I have compassion. I do it out of compassion. But I came to go to the cross and to overcome death and disease and sorrow and give you hope and take your sin away I came as the Savior of the world. God Almighty came here so we could see him. People are not talking about him unless they are swearing using his name. People are not, this is old, some old religious kind of, some kind of crazy. This is in the past. And we should be able to say with them, understand how to communicate with them and say, oh, Jesus, there's nobody like him. You should know him. You need him to sit in your house with Jesus sitting with you. You need him. You should know him. To read the Bible and have him speak to you. Oh, there's nothing like it. You should know him. You have a famine going on. You don't even know it. You're starving. You're worried. You're dying. You're married to your wounds. You are limited. You are a troubled person. What do you have? You need Jesus in your heart, in your life. Okay. Amen. Could you pray with me? Thank you that you gave us a church like this one. And there are many, many in the world. I heard of one in Memphis. My son Justin went there last week when he was out doing a wedding. He said, oh, the man, he was a man of God. A small church, but he was a man of God. And he was on fire for God. He was so anointed. And the Bible was there. The Bible was in his heart and in his mouth. And, oh, Lord, thank you for churches where the Bible is living, that we ask questions, we process our faith, we begin to understand it little by little. We grow in our faith. We have words, not a famine of the stomach, but a famine of the ears, where we can't hear anything. There's nothing said, nothing to change, nothing to build my life on, nothing powerful, but Jesus comes and gives it to us. Would you accept Jesus in your heart today and say to Jesus, I need you. I trust you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.